Dear brothers and sisters, it is definitely an uncomfortable reality, but nevertheless, it is the truth. This is in reference to the reality which states that not all people who will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of reckoning with iman, with faith, will be granted instant access to paradise. Unfortunately, that is not the case. There are certain deficiencies in iman, i.e. in our iman, which may mean that some people will not experience paradise as the very first destination. It's Muslims we are speaking about. And therefore, it's for this exact reason that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, out of his love and mercy towards us, strove with all what he possessed to guide us to certain characteristics and traits and behaviors, to raise our iman to high levels, to ensure that we never need to feel the fire of hell before paradise, which will raise us to the highest levels in Jannah, and perhaps even without accountability on the Day of Judgment as well. And I want to give you one such example of a hadith that does this. This is the famous hadith which Bukhari and Muslim narrate on the authority of Anas, where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsihi." None of you truly believe until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. Wait, hold on. I know you've come across this hadith before. I know maybe you've even read it. I know maybe you have memorized it and studied it. But wait till you hear what the scholars of Islam have had to say about that hadith. It will blow your mind away. And it will change your perception forever. Imam Abu Dawood al-Sijistani, for example, he said about this narration, إِنَّهُ مِنَ الْأَحَادِيثِ الَّتِي عَلَيْهَا مَدَارُ الْإِسْلَامِ. This is one of the fundamental narrations of the religion of Islam. Imam Ibn Abi Zayd al-Maliki, he would also say, جُمَّاعُ آدَابِ الْخَيْرِ وَأَزِمَّتُهُ تَتَفَرَّعُ مِنْ أَرْبَعَةِ أَحَدِيثِ. The narrations that gather all of the good manners, they branch out from four narrations. What are they? Narration number one, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawm al-akhir falyaqul khayran aw liyasmut." Whoever believes in Allah and the Day of Judgment, he should say that which is good or should remain quiet. That is hadith number one, from which all of good manners apparently branch out from. What is the second hadith? He said, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Min husni islami al-mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'nihi." From the perfection of a person's religion is to leave those things that don't concern you. Hadith number three, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was advised to give advice to a person, and he said to him, "La taghdab," don't get angry. And hadith number four, from which all good manners branch out from, is the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhihi hatta yuhibba li nafsihi ma yuhibbu li nafsihi." None of you truly believe until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. So what? Somebody may ask. Like, what is it that makes this hadith so important? Why have our scholars made such a big hoo-ha and a big deal about this narration? What have they seen about this hadith that maybe I've missed? Consider this, dear brothers and sisters. Number one, the completion of your iman, your faith, depends upon the likes of this narration. In other words, we can recite as much Quran as we want, attend Islamic conferences all around the year, deliver as many study circles as time permits, pray and fast as much as humanly possible, and all of this is virtuous. However, our iman, our faith, will remain dangerously deficient until we learn how to love for our brothers and sisters what we love for ourselves. And that is why in another narration which Ibn Hibban narrates on the authority of Anas, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "La yablughu 'abdun haqiqata al-iman hatta yuhibba lin-nasi ma yuhibbu li nafsihi min al-khayr." One will not attain the reality of faith until he loves the goodness for people just as he loves it for himself. This is the first reason. Your iman depends upon it. Number two, being shielded against the fire of hell depends upon this hadith. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "فَمَنْ أَحَبَّ أَن يُزَحْزَحَ عَنِ النَّارِ." ويدخل الجنة فلتأتيه منيته وهو يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر وليأتي إلى الناس الذي يحب أن يؤتى إليه. The hadith which Muslim narrates on the authority of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, therefore whoever wishes to be pushed away from the hellfire and given access to paradise, then let him do two things. Let death come to him whilst he believes in Allah and the last day, and let him behave with the people as he wishes for them to behave with him. As he wishes that they behave with him. Therefore, according to that narration you just heard, salvation, success, protection in the hereafter is hinged onto two principles. Correcting your affair with Allah, your relationship with Allah, Tawheed, Islam, and then correcting your relationship with people. Subhanallah. Therefore, this is reason number two. Your protection, dear brother, dear sister, from the hellfire depends upon this hadith. Reason number three. Access to your palace in Jannah, treasures of Jannah, the gardens of paradise, they depend upon this hadith. And that is why the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam once asked the companion Yazid ibn Asad al-Qasri a beautiful question. He said to him, "Atuhibbul Jannah, is it not that you love paradise?" And he said, "Yes, O Messenger of Allah." He said to him, "Fa'ahibba linnasi aw fa'ahibba li'akhika ma tuhibbu li nafsik." Therefore, love for your brother what you love for yourself. Ya Allah, reality of faith depends upon it. Entry to Jannah depends upon it. Protection from the hellfire depends upon it. Look at number four, how Allah Almighty treats you in this world and in the hereafter depends upon this hadith. And that is why Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, he said in his book Al-Wabil al-Sayyib, listen to these words, I will translate sentence by sentence. He said, "Man rafaqa bi'ibadillahi rafaqa Allahu bihi." Whoever is gentle with the servants of Allah, Allah will be gentle with him. Man rahimahum rahimahu, whoever has mercy upon them, Allah will have mercy upon him. Man ahsana ila an-nasi ahsana ilayhi, whoever is good with the people, Allah will be good to him. Man jada alayhim jada Allahu alayhi, whoever is generous with the people, Allah will be generous to him. Man nafa'ahum nafa'ahu, whoever is good to the people, Allah will be good to him. Man satarahum satarahu, whoever conceals their faults, Allah will conceal his faults. Wa man mana'ahum khayrahu mana'ahu khayrahu, whoever prevents people from his good, Allah will prevent him from his good. وَمَنْ عَامَلَ النَّاسَ بِصِفَةٍ عَامَلَهُ اللَّهُ بِتِلْكَ الصِّفَةِ بِعَيْنِهَا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. And whoever behaves with people using a particular trait, Allah will behave with him in the exact same trait in this world and the hereafter. Therefore, having realized all of this, brothers and sisters, our predecessors made every possible effort to reflect the teaching of this hadith in every department and field of life. In the field of Islamic learning, they wanted for others what they wanted for themselves. Look at the words of Abdullah ibn Abbas, the companion. Subhanallah, what did he say? He said, "Inna inni la amurru ala al-ayati min kitabillahi, fa awaddu anna an-nasa kullahum ya'lamuna minha ma a'lam." He said, "Sometimes I come across an ayah, a verse from the Quran, which causes me so much joy that I wish that all of humanity had learnt what I had just learned." He wanted others to benefit from the knowledge that he had learned, not keeping it to himself. Have you felt that, dear brother, dear sister? Number two, in the field of sharing good deeds, they wanted for others what they wanted for themselves. Utbah al-Ghulam, one of our predecessors, would say to his friends when breaking his fast, he would say to them, "Akhrij lima'an aw tamarat, uftiru 'alayha liyakuna laka." He would say to his friend, "Bring me some water, please. Bring me some dates so that I may break my fast with it, so that Allah gives you a similar reward of my fasting." He knows the hadith that whoever gives food to the fasting person, Allah will give him a similar reward to the one who is fasting. He said, "I want you to bring me the food. You bring me the water so that Allah Almighty gives you a share of the good deeds." Allahu Akbar. Field of sharing good deeds, they wanted for their brothers and sisters what they wanted for themselves. In the field of slander, rumors, accusations, they wanted for themselves, or they wanted for others what they wanted for themselves. And consider, dear brother, dear sister, a discussion that took place between a husband and wife. Following the slanderous and false accusation that was leveled against our mother Aisha, Ummu Ayyub, she said to her husband Abu Ayyub, "Ya Aba Ayyub, أما تسمع ما يقول الناس في عائشة رضي الله عنها أو أبو أيوب." Have you heard what people are saying about Aisha? Have you heard what they are accusing her of? Allahu Akbar. Difficult scenario. But what did Abu Ayyub say to his wife? He responded with words that are really a methodology for us to follow. He said to her, "Na'am wa dhalika al-kadhib." I've heard what they said, and that is the manifest lie. "Akunti fa'ilatan dhalika ya Umm Ayyub?" He said, "Umm Ayyub, let me ask you a question." He said to her, "This is the lie. This is the blatant lie, and I ask you this question. Would you have done this thing?" What they are accusing her of. "Would you have done it yourself?" She said, "By Allah, I would never have done this." So he said to her, "Fa'aishatu khayrun minki." Let me tell you, Aisha is better than you, oh my wife. Subhanallah. Wanting for others what they wanted for themselves. Subhanallah. And you remember the story of Ka'b ibn Malik, the companion. When the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam went out to Tabuk to fight in the path of Allah, Ka'b ibn Malik and two other companions, they stayed behind. They actually didn't have an excuse, and Allah sent down verses later on forgiving them. So when they arrived at Tabuk, the Prophet ﷺ realized that some people were missing from the Muslims. He said, "Ma fa'ala Ka'b ibn Malik?" Where is Ka'b? So a man from the tribe of Salima, he said, "Messenger of Allah, habasahu burdahu wa nadharu fi atfihi." Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "Don't worry about Ka'b. He's too busy in Medina, enjoying his clothes, enjoying the weather, or looking really into his dunya. Leave him." Backstabbing. So Mu'adh ibn Jabal, who heard this, he stood up for Ka'b ibn Malik. And he said, "Bi'sa ma qult, you speak evil words. Wallahi ya Rasulullah, ma alimna alayhi illa khayra." Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "We only know good of Ka'b ibn Malik. Look at how he defended his brother in the unseen when he was not present. Wanting for others what you want for yourself." What else? In the field of dealing with haters, enemies, adversaries, they wanted for others what they wanted for themselves. I want you to think of these words, dear brother, dear sister, of Imam Ibn al-Qayyim describing his teacher's behavior, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. And I will translate. He said, وَكَانَ بَعْضُ أَصْحَابِهِ الْأَكَابِرِ يَقُولُونَ وَدِدْتُ أَنِّي لِأَصْحَابِ مِثْلُهُ لِأَعْدَائِهِ وَخُصُومِهِ. Some of the friends of Ibn Taymiyyah, they would say, "We wish that we could behave as nicely to our friends as he behaves to his enemies." Ibn al-Qayyim, he said, "وَمَا رَأَيْتُهُ يَدْعُ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُ قَطٌ كَانَ يَدْعُ لَهُمْ." I have never seen him supplicating, making dua against any of his enemies. He would only make dua for them. And one day Ibn al-Qayyim, he said, "I came to Ibn Taymiyyah مُبَشِّرًا لَهُ بِمَوْتِ أَكْبَرِ أَعْدَائِهِ." I came to him giving him good news that one of your main enemies has just died. Thank God he's gone. Who used to harm Ibn Taymiyyah so much. Ibn al-Qayyim said, "Naharani tanakkara li wastarja." He told me off, he reprimanded me, he rebuked me for saying this. And he began to say, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." Something that you say when there is a calamity. So he said, "Let's go." They went to the family of the one who had died, his main enemy. They went to the wife and they went to the children. And Ibn Taymiyyah said, "I am here for you. I will compensate you for your loss, inshallah. Anything that you need spending on, I will take it care. I will take care of it for you." And they were so happy when they saw this. They made dua for Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, and they saw it as something mighty from him. Allahu Akbar. In fact, even in the field of clothes and shoes and material worldly items, they wanted for others what they wanted for themselves. You know the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Tilka ad-daru al-akhiratu naj'aluha lil-ladhina la yuriduna 'uluwan fil-ardi wa la fasada wal-'aqibatu lil-muttaqin." The home of the hereafter, Allah said, "We assign it to those who don't want any high-handedness here on earth, nor do they want to spread corruption." Look at the words of Ali ibn Abi Talib describing this ayah. He said it means, or part of its meaning, هو أن لا يحب أن يكون نعله خيرا من نعل غيره ولا ثوبه خيرا من ثوبه. He said this ayah is in reference to a person who doesn't want his shoes to be better than the shoes of anyone else, or his clothes to be better than the clothes of anyone else. Even in the department of shoes and clothes, they don't want to be better than anyone else. Actually, in one of the most breathtaking narrations I have ever read in this regard, is that which Bukhari al-Muslim narrate on the authority of Abi Hurairah. that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that there was a man who purchased a piece of land from another man. And the buyer, he found a jar filled with gold in the land that he had just acquired. And so the buyer said to the seller, خُذْ ذَهَبَكْ مِنِّي إِنَّمَا اشْتَرَيْتُ مِنْكَ الْأَرْضِ وَلَمْ أَبْتَعْ مِنْكَ الذَّهَبِ. He said, please take your gold back. I only bought the land from you. I didn't buy the pot of gold. And so the owner of the land, the ex-owner of the land, said to him, إِنَّمَا بِعْتُكَ الْأَرْضَ وَمَا فِيهَا. He said, no, I'm sorry. I sold you the land and everything inside of it. That gold is yours as well. So both of them took their case to a third party. So there was a dispute. He said, take your gold. And the other one said, no, it's your gold. They went to a party to settle the dispute. And so this middleman, he said, do you guys have children? One of them said, yeah, I've got a boy. The other one said, I've got a girl. He said, why don't you marry them to one another if they are interested, of course. Why don't you marry them to one another? And whatever remains, give it in charity. SubhanAllah, have you ever heard of anything like that? I mean, yeah, these disputes happen, right? But what is completely out of the ordinary is when each of the two parties is arguing that he is the rightful owner. She is the rightful owner, not me. He wants to give me money that's not mine. SubhanAllah. Wanting for your brother and sister what you want for yourself. Here I would like to ask a question. Let's be real now. Why is it so easy to speak about this principle, but in the lives of many people, it's so hard to apply? The answer is, because it boils down to an illness deep inside, an illness within the heart. A heart that convinces you that the losses of other people somehow means that you've now automatically progressed in life is a terribly ill and a severely mistaken heart. If your friend's business plummets, does that mean that you've now somehow become a millionaire? If your friend's children fail in their exams, does that mean that your child has now passed in his exam? If your friend, dear brother, dear sister, has had an accident and they lose their looks, does that mean that all of a sudden you somehow look any better? The answer to all of these questions is no. And therefore the conclusion from this is that this type of jealousy is purely from the works of shaitan, who wants to keep our iman, faith, deficient by encouraging us not to want for others what we want for ourselves, and therefore limiting our success in the hereafter. It's about this, brothers and sisters. There's something here that's preventing us from applying this simple hadith that we say so easily. And this is why when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was asked the question clearly, أَيُّ النَّاسِ أَفْضَلُ, who are the best of all people? What did he say? He said, كل مخموم القلب صدوق اللسان. He said, it is those people whose hearts are مخموم, pure, and whose speech is truthful. So the companions weren't entirely clear as per what that meant. They said, صدوق اللسان نعرفه فما مخموم القلب. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we understand what it means to be truthful in speech, but what do you mean by مخموم القلب, pure in the heart? What do you mean by that? Listen to his definition of the best of all people. He said, هُوَ التَّقِيُّ النَّقِيُّ الَّذِي لَا إِثْمَ فِيهِ وَلَا بَغْيَ وَلَا غِلَّ وَلَا حَسَدٍ. This is, he said, in reference to the heart that is pious and pure, that has no sin within it, injustice, malice, or envy. Allah. So, when you profit from a financial transaction, brother, let the very first thought that crosses your mind after thanking Allah be, how can I transfer this experience to my brother? How can I pay off his debts? When you go home, dear brother, and you realize the beautiful atmosphere that your wife has created for you, children who are happy and running around, and a home that is warm and food that is ready, a cheerful face in your reception, let your knee-jerk reaction be, after thanking Allah, how am I going to facilitate a similar experience for my brothers and my sisters who are yet to get married? When your husband, dear sister, returns home from work, and maybe he has gifts with him, or maybe he is, mashallah, raising your children with care and goodness, And he is fulfilling the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad at home, not just in the masjid, in the mosque. Then ensure that your immediate impulse, your knee-jerk reaction after thanking Allah is thinking about your sisters who are yet to experience this, because they're looking for marriage, or they are married, but to the wrong type of person. Loving for them what you love for yourself. When you make dua for the righteousness of your own children, make dua for the righteousness of the friends, of your friends as well, and the children of the Muslims. When your brother is spoken ill of, slandered, accused of something that has a lot of aspersion attached to it, ask yourself, how would I like to be treated in this situation? See, brothers and sisters, in conclusion, I also would like to say that the benefits of living by this principle, loving for him what you love for yourself, and this is part of completion of iman, the benefit of this is not limited to the hereafter. The benefits extend to this world. Allah is so generous. I remember visiting an old Welshman in the hospital during his last days, and he was a multi-millionaire, maybe even a billionaire, some of my friends have suggested. He has jets to his name and yachts to his name. He's got several banks to his name as well. My friend, he asked him the question, what is the secret behind your success? You know what he said? By remembering that there is enough to go round, be at the service of others. Alhamdulillah, days before he passed away, he would also embrace Islam. Therefore, those people who serve with sincerity, wanting for others what they want for themselves, Allah does not let them down in both of the worlds. Have you experienced this paradise, dear brother, dear sister? Strive to leave a legacy behind you. Footprints that are not erased till the day you meet Allah. Please, plan a project. Plan a project from now that will outlive your short life here on earth. A project that will witness for you on the day of reckoning. A project that will argue your case before Allah and will plead to Allah to give you access to Jannah and the palaces and rivers of paradise due to the service that your project had continued to provide for people during your life and after you had died.